it's great to see all you guys here today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Austin Worley. I teach fifth grade at Jesse Bobo. Shout out to Bobo. On top of getting a paycheck from District 6, I also get a paycheck from District 7 now. I coach JV softball there. Matter of fact, I started last year as a volunteer coaching baseball with someone who's going to be an influential part in the story today. And is that better? sorry, ADHD, I move around a lot. On top of that, I help lead worship every week under the great, great guidance of Alyssa Bridges, our leader. And then lastly, I know that's like three or four jobs, but am I too far? Am I interfering with my other stuff? He just threw his pen. Okay, it's all good. I'll just stand back here. How about that? But also, I talked about Spur, so I'm going to be helping lead Spur coming up November 20th, so that's next week. Got some great things planned for that. So like I said, if you're watching online or you have a kid who is watching online, please register so we can get that taken care of. I'm going to start with my quick testimony. Maybe 6th, 7th grade, and worshiping similar songs like we were worshiping today, and I was at the First United Methodist Church in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and I was back there, man. It must have been like the first time I raised my hand to sing in church. I was back there, and I saw other people. I was like, man, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm going to raise my hand, and I'm gonna worship, because that's me. If you know me, I have some histrionic tendencies. So histrionic meaning theatrical or dramatic. So I am quite dramatic. But so I was raising my hand, and something came over me. And it's a tough feeling to describe. All I can tell you is you're hot and cold at the same time. You're happy and sad at the same time. You're feeling all these emotions. I did, you know, like maybe got like an eyelash in my eye, tears coming down. Yeah. It just kind of is what it is. But it was then that I knew that the Holy Spirit had taken a hold of me. And for invitation that day, I remember saying the words. And yeah, I had said them before. But the words are words. It's when the Holy Spirit enters you and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and save you that you are truly saved. And so, you know, fast forward a little bit. While I'm on that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves." So you can't save yourselves. It is a gift from God. I remember reading that verse somewhere around the time that I was saved. So I gave us a little fluff piece so we can get to the meat of the story. We're gonna fast forward and, oh, shoot, 20 years. And, you know, I always did a great job at doing what John talks about in chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So we're going to talk about light and darkness today. We're going to talk about being the light that God called us to be. I did a great job of being the light when I was younger. For the most part, I didn't lie, mostly because I couldn't lie. I'm not a very good liar, and we'll share some stories about that. Matter of fact, I was playing a game last night with my sister and her boyfriend, and I was trying to cheat. And my sister was just like, yeah, no, she's winking at me. And her boyfriend's like, no, man, you're right. I can't. So I'm not a very good liar. And that's okay. I think that's a great thing because we'll see what lying does to someone in this story. So I did a good job of being a light of the world. I was always pretty happy. I always try to talk to everybody that I saw. I still try to do that. But man, let me tell you. Does anybody know what happens in the absence of light? Well, we call that darkness. And what we're getting ready to see is it all started with my wife's first pregnancy. That's when I started fighting demons with myself. My wife had, she got sick a lot, pretty much every day. And so she was miserable, and because she was miserable and working full time and having to put up with me every day, in turn, I was a little miserable as well. And I'll never forget, there's a story. I was moving the furniture around in the living room. It was around Christmas time. And we were having her family over to have Christmas at our house. And so we had to move some things around and just so old folks could walk in, pretty much, for the old folks. But so we were moving that stuff around, and my mom was helping me. And I sent her a picture. And I'm like, man, I'm excited. I cleaned the house, did this. She takes me back. I don't like it. Okay. Those of you who know my wife, she doesn't mince words, especially when it comes to me. So I was kind of hurt my heart a little bit. And it wasn't, and I'm learning this, it wasn't because of what she said. It's because I don't want to disappoint. And because I don't want to disappoint, that's why my feelings were hurt. So in the midst of all this, being excited for the birth of our boy, first kid, being scared because I'm going to be a dad, and I don't care who will tell you, you don't know how to be a dad, you just do it. But I didn't know that at the time, and we're going to talk about that too. But more or less what it came down to is my mom was like, okay, you don't like it? Here's your chair, and she put it right in the middle of the living room. And my wife goes, yeah, I like that. That's great. So the chair sat in front of all of our couches and everything. It was just right in the middle, so my wife could watch TV. Boy, that was funny. My mom thought she was going to get her with that one. Turns out Jenna was like, no, I kind of like that. But so she's going through her trials. And I'm going through it with her, but me being the person I am, I thought it was about me too, but it wasn't. And so I had to work on myself in that moment. James was born 3 weeks later. 2 weeks later. We were all sitting on the back porch, and I remember, like, to this day, girls were inside, me and my dad on the back porch. We're grilling something and listening to country music. I don't know, he loved Lee Bryce, so I looked in the window, I'm like, man, this is a life right here. This is a life. Got a kid, I'm out here grilling with my dad. Girls are inside taking care of the kids. That, not misogynistic, just want you to know, to me, that was the life. Psalm 34:8, oh, the taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. Well, I was blessed. I had everybody I loved right there. Had a great relationship with my in-laws. Had great friends. And then we know the week after, so 3 weeks after James was born, COVID blew up the world. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was about to blow up my life. And I'm going to try to keep my emotions down a little bit. But number one, the biggest thing it took away at the time was my love language. I love touch. If you know me and you're a good friend of mine, I hug you. COVID, man, 6 feet apart, you can't hug nobody. What is that? That's taking away how I love people and how I receive love from people. And that was difficult. Especially having a nurse in the house who is up to date on all the current stuff. She's like, babe, you can't do that. So that was tough. It took away my fellowship with others. I'm a people person. I like to talk to people. The only way you could talk to people was FaceTime. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to text you. I'm not going to FaceTime you. I might call you to say, hey, I want to see you. I like to be face-to-face. And so then we had our first COVID case within our household. It was around the time that we went back to school for the first time, not knowing what was going to happen. And my dad called and said, hey, you know, I'm running a fever. I tested positive for COVID. I'm going to kick it in Georgia for a bit. I'm like, all right, there ain't nothing wrong with my dad. Like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Turns out his roommate was like, hey, my son's coming in. You know, you gotta get out. So I can have my son come in. I was like, all right, he said, all right, well, I'll drive back down to South Carolina. We all had it by this point. One I was most worried about was my mom, just with some complications that she has. And so, matter of fact, she ended up being the one who, she was fine. She was fine. There wasn't nothing wrong with her. And I think I got this thing on backwards, but oh well. My dad gets back. I was smoking a pork butt. And he was eating it. He's like, man, this is salty. Man, shut up. You don't know nothing. This is good stuff. Turns out he still kind of was getting his taste back. And then the next night, he said, my hair hurts. You bald. Ain't no hair on you. Anyway, his hair was hurting. I was like, okay, so, you know, your skin hurts sometimes when you run a fever. So he kept putting a thermometer to his head. Long story short, he was running a very, very high fever. And the last words I said to my dad was, love you, man, get better, as he was walking out to go to the hospital. Man, those of you who know my story, that was a dark time for me. While he was in the hospital. Because, man, everybody's like, hey, keep hope, keep hope, keep hope. But it's hard to keep hope when he keeps going up on oxygen. That's not a good feeling. And then the phone call happens. Hey, you need to come home. Man, I don't got to go home. The only time I would go home is if my dad's dying. I was home. Called the doctor. Doctor said, hey, look, this is where we're at. You know, he can live. You know, there's a possibility of him living, but he's going to have to be, he probably won't be able to walk ever again. He's going to have to be getting, I don't even know what it's called, dialysis. There we go. He's going to be on dialysis. He's going to be doing that 3-4 times a week. I'm like, man, those of you who knew my dad, that's no way for him to live. You know what I mean? So, So we made a decision as a family. It's time. Let's go say see you later. So we did. And that's when I ask a question that I believe a lot of people ask God when something happens. Why, God? It was a song I listened to. It said, why, God, do people have to die? A daughter or a son, sudden and so young, long before their time. Now, you know what? I don't have the answer to that question. But I know God does. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. Kind of during that time, it was about a year before some more trials hit me. Maybe 6 months. But there was something that was missing from my life. I was ready to be a dad. But I wasn't ready to be a dad without mine. I lost my dad. I lost another great man that I looked up to, Papa Bagwell. And then my papa was going through some difficult times too, so I felt like I had nobody to help me be a dad. And that was difficult for me. But instead of dealing with it, I pushed it off to the side and I ignored it. Because I want to be happy. But sometimes you have to deal with the tough things. So I was in denial for a while. And then we were taking some trips. My dad's parents, my grandparents, want us to come out and more or less put my dad in the ground, part of him, and want to have a funeral for him. We did not want to. And I know you guys may see this. We did not want a funeral. They don't know that. But we had one because, you know, he's their kid. So we had a funeral. I sang, I spoke, and then I wish I would have gotten this picture, but there's a picture of my son hugging the box that had my dad's remains in it and kissing it without being prompted to. Then I lower my dad into what was left of my dad's physical body into the ground. That's when it hit. He's not just at work in Georgia. He's not going to walk back through that door. I'm not going to be able to call him and tell him that, hey, I shot one under par today. And he'd be telling me that I'm BSing. So, I mean, it just hit me. And the best way for me to deal with that, well, what I thought, is because if you look, my light was starting to go out. And so as light goes out, darkness sets in. And so I turned to something that the world tells you is a good thing to do when you're stressed, when you've had enough of the world. You turn to this one thing, and man, you're good. You'll feel good. Everything will be fine, man. You can just drink it away. But it turns out in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So here I had Satan masquerading as an angel of light telling me, hey, man, this is what you need for your life to be better. All you need is just get a little buzz and you'll be all right. And you can go on and deal with the world. And so that's how I started dealing with the loss of my dad. For those of you who aren't familiar with 2 Corinthians, it's actually the fourth letter that Paul writes to the church of Corinth. The first letter he wrote, you know, he got a report from Titus, and Titus is like, hey, man, you know, these people that you spent a year and a half with living and preaching to, yeah, man, they pretty much casted you out. They're not living by the gospel that you taught. They're not living by Jesus' gospel. And so Paul writes a series of letters. He actually goes, you know, in between these letters and meets face to face. But he writes this last letter because there were still a few that were stuck in the ways of sin. And let me tell you why they were stuck in the ways of sin. So after Paul left the church of Corinth, they had what Paul, you know, kind of makes fun of them and says, super apostles. These super apostles came in and they were like, hey, look, I have letters of recommendation. Look at all these great things I can do. Look at me. They were bragging about how much they knew. And Paul knew that that was no way that a Christian wouldn't brag about what they know. So he writes this letter, 2 Corinthians, and what he does is he opens himself up. And he doesn't talk about, you know, he's like, man, I want to tell them that I am a true apostle. And I'm just as good as or even better than the ones that they're talking about. But I don't know how to do it without bragging. So what's he do? He opens himself up and he becomes vulnerable. He starts talking about the trials and sufferings he's been through, his imprisonments. Just all these trials that he's been through. And showing that it's not him that's necessarily preaching the gospel. It's Jesus through him that he's able to do this. And that this is the way. So, we talked about a little bit of addiction, how it affected me. And why is it important that I talked about 2 Corinthians and how Paul talked about his sufferings? God breaks you down because he has to sometimes to get out of the way of yourself. God will break you down so that you can see the glory that is him. That's a tough thing to hear, but God will do it. God will break you down so that you can see who he is. And I'm going to tell you, I saw him. We're going to talk about how I saw him real quick. When I was drinking, I was hurting others. I was a insert cuss word hole. I was. To the people who loved me, that was there for me. I remember being on the phone with my friend Bailey and more or less saying some things that I knew would hurt her feelings just because I felt like she had hurt mine. I thought that was a good idea. Multiple times my mom tried to talk to me about the situation and I'm like, man, what are you talking? I ain't doing that. I really hurt my wife. I shut her out. I shut everybody out. But see, that's what Satan wanted. That's what he wanted. That angel that was masquerading, or that he was masquerading as an angel of light, he wanted me to shut everybody out. Because that's how he works. Well, I'm going to take away everything you love. I'm going to take away fellowship with others. I'm going to take away your love language of touch. I'm going to take away your best friend. I'm going to take away your wife. That's what he did. He took all that away from me. But I allowed him to. Because I listened to him as opposed to what Jesus had to say. But like I said, God was breaking me down only to bless me. I just didn't know it. So it all comes to a head. Long story short, man, I had a lot happen in one day. I saved a guy's life. It reminded me of my dad when he was in the hospital on the ventilator. And so, once again, listen to Satan. And landed myself in the hospital in the mental ward. And let me tell you right now, I'm still not very happy that I was there. But I'm seeing now that it wasn't them that put me there, it was me. I put myself there. But also, God was breaking me down, man, because I'm telling you right now, if you haven't been to a mental ward, don't go. There ain't nothing cool. You got a naked man beating on the door. Let me in! No. Keep him out there. Yes, yeah, so he was breaking me down only to bless me, and we hit this head. And so I call, I get out of the hospital, and we head directly to a counseling session where I'm going to get some help. I'm like, all right, I need help. Well, and the first time I asked for it, but it was really the first time I asked for it, if you know what I mean. So we go to the counseling session, we get out. I'm sitting in the car at my mom's work, and I call my boss. I say, hey, yeah, I had this thing happen, and I don't know, I might be, I'm missing some time in there, and said a word that they said. They didn't diagnose me with this word, but I said a word that kind of sent up a red flag, so I had to go through a whole bunch of stuff. So they're like, you cannot come back to work until we figure out what's going on. So I had some time off to deal with my problems. And it was time off that I needed. I may not have been happy about it. I may not have felt like I was good enough for my students because of what they were telling me. But it was something that I needed. I needed that time off, and God knew that. I just, once again, didn't want to hear it. So I get that time off, and I'm working on myself. I'm working on my relationship with my wife. I'm working towards sobriety. I get a phone call. Hey, that's Coach Conley. Huh, let me answer that. Those of you who don't know, Coach Conley and my dad were best friends. And you know they were real best friends because they might not talk to each other for 6 months, but they get together and it's like they've been living together their whole life. It's crazy. He calls me. He said, hey, I kind of know what you're going through right now. And I feel like this is a time that I need, something's telling me, hey, why don't you come coach with me this year? So I go and work for him, and all of his smart, elicky, there's other words in there, but he is very sarcastic. And so if you don't know him, you might be like, this guy's kind of rude. No, he's not rude. That's just his personality. That's how he tells you he loves you. And so through that, I was able to start having a male in my life who has been a dad that I can bounce some things off. Complain about, oh, my wife said this, and whatever. Normal stuff that guys do. I didn't have that, and now I did. So as I'm working, I'm doing that, I become a father. So during all this, my wife was pregnant again. Same thing as last time. She's sick. She's miserable. And we have a kid. So when all this is happening, I also learned how bad I hurt others. And that's not, it's not easy to hear. But it's something that you need to hear. So I get my life back on track, and this is how I did it. I turn back to Jesus. Because Christ is my firm foundation. And he's yours too. He's the rock on which we stand. Just like the song we sang today. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. So through all my trials and bad decision making, I became a better person. I have a stronger relationship with my wife. I have a better relationship with my friends. I'm a better teacher. I'm a better coach. I worship harder. All because of the grace of God. He could have been vengeful and said, no, you took Satan's side when you needed me. But he didn't do that. He understood what I went through. He was there. Just waiting on me to say, okay, dude. I'm ready. Did I ever lose faith in God at that point? No. I didn't. But I did lose sight. And sometimes that happens. And I want you to know that's okay. I'm going to close with this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, or these verses, verse 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Let's pause right there. I was the salt of the earth, but man, I lost my taste. Salt is used to make things taste better. It's also used to preserve food. But I wasn't preserving anything. If anything, I was destroying. I definitely wasn't a great person to deal with. So, how was I making the world a better place? How was I sharing God's word? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Well, I was getting trampled on. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But then he goes on to say, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, if salt loses its saltiness or its taste, it's good for nothing. He doesn't stop there. He says, you are, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. I tried to hide, didn't I? I tried to hide my light through alcohol. But guess what? God said, no, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And he did not allow me to stay hidden. He broke me down to bless me. Nor do people light a lamp and put it underneath the basket, but on a stand, And it gives light to all in the house. As a husband, it's my job to be a light for our house. And God has done that for me. I didn't do it for myself. If I would, I might be 6 feet under if it was left up to me, but it's not. It's through God's grace. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God has truly blessed me. If you want to see how he's blessed me, look at the people in the audience. These people were all a part of my story. You are a blessing to me. God put you in my life at the right time. So I want you to know that, yes, God works through you as well. So as I say that, you may be in a time of trial. You may have listened to Satan masquerading as the angel of light. You may be struggling with the question of why, God. And I'm just sharing you because I've been there. God will break you down. Only to bless you. Maybe today's your day to be blessed. In order to be blessed, you must have God in your, or Jesus in your heart. He did. He lived a perfect life. And died a sinner's death. That was my death that I deserved. So he died for me. He died for you. But he loved us so much, he didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day and defeated death. That is the greatest victory ever. So if you're at a place in your life where you might have turned your back on God, where your light is starting to flicker and darkness is setting in, or maybe you've never known light, pray this prayer with me. It's not just the words, okay? It's what you feel. When the Holy Spirit enters you, you know it does. The words are just for confirmation. So if you would, close your eyes and bow your head with me. And repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived a perfect life that I couldn't live, died the death that I deserved on the cross. And loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again. I ask that you stay with me as I continue to grow through you and become a light of the world, just like you called me to be. With your head bowed and your eyes still closed, If there's anybody in the house that prayed that prayer for the first time, if you would, just raise your hand. Comment online. Because we want to get you set up with the church. It doesn't have to be ours. We need to continue to grow your faith. I'm going to pick your heads up. Thank you guys for going on the journey with me today and my strange story. It is a story of heartache, but I don't want you to take that away from here. What I want you to take away is the joy that came from it, the blessings that came from the trials. If you would, please stand and worship with us.
Darkest place, life, even in the pain, it feels like coming home. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and I am free, amen. Where the Spirit Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and I am free, amen.
Good morning. I'm going to sing a song for you now. Really, isn't it great to walk in the freedom of the Lord? I know Austin had an awesome story. We talked about it beforehand. I know he did great. Didn't he do great? And he led worship. He's good. I'm sweating. He didn't have to sweat. I'm sweating. I'll be honest with you. I've been hanging out with kids back there. We're doing Operation Christmas Child Boxes. So I want to let you know, Vine Church, because we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, we're getting to sow seeds of the gospel in our children right now to teach them about generosity, because I've heard it multiple times. Do those kids get Christmas? And we get to explain to them what Christmas is about as those boxes go around the world. So thank you, each and every sower. Thank you, each and every parent, for letting your kids hang out there with us and pack boxes. They're probably going to have questions about it. I told James that he was getting a PlayStation 5, so when he asked for that, it's going to be good. Y'all let me know how that goes. But all I had to say, we are so thankful for you hanging out with us and spending time with us, having breakfast with us, hearing an amazing story from Austin, having awesome worship where Jesus has been the focus and Jesus has been the center. And we just want to invite you back next week. Listen, we do this each and every week. We tear this place down. It's a gym right now. You're going to see it be a gym again in about an hour. We have folks who come on Saturday night. And here's the deal. We have a seat for you. We know that we aren't a complete church. We're a body, but not a complete church, which means this. The gifts that God's given you, he's given you for a purpose, and this can be the place where you serve with it. And I don't care if you do it at this church or a different church down the road. Get to church next week wherever you are, because that's where you can grow in the Lord. So we hope you have an awesome week. We're going to be kicking off our new series, Light of the World, next week. Join us with that. It's Christmas. I know it's a week early, but it's already on the radio, so we can get over it, right? So have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.